Okay, Psalm 14, just to begin with. You might be wondering what this has got to do with perilous times, but I trust all will be revealed. Okay, just while you're finding that, just notices very quickly, just to remind our folks here, prayer meeting Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Probably one of the most important meetings in the church in a week is our prayer meeting. Absolutely vital to the life and ministry of this church is our prayer meeting. So I understand, you know, obviously not everyone can make it at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, but if you possibly can, if you want to join us on Tuesday morning, absolutely welcome. And then Bible study this Thursday at 7:30. Again, thanks to Paul for taking the Bible study on last Thursday whilst we were away, but back to me again, back to Genesis on this next Thursday at 7:30. And then that brings us through to next Sunday, so 10:30 in the morning, and with it being the first Sunday of the month, it'll be fellowship meal after the morning service, and then next Sunday evening, God willing, that's if the rapture hasn't happened first or something, we'll be continuing with our Perilous Times series. So yes, Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They've all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, it seems to be the case that some of the people who are regarded as the greatest brains on earth today, the greatest intellectuals in the world today, are atheists, or so they say. They don't believe in God. God's verdict on them, they're fools. And that is just a statement of fact. I mean, even from the evidence of creation, as it says in Romans 1, It is evident there is a creator. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And as that psalm goes on to say, they are corrupt and have done abominable works. Take God out of the equation. Remove him from your consciousness. Remove him. It only results in one thing. Because of fallen human nature, it results in more sin. It results in more corruption. Our world is as it is today because men and women have taken God, the God that is of the Bible, out of the equation. And what do we find? We find a rise, we find an increase in corruption, in sin, in darkness. And here we are today. This series of messages entitled Perilous Times. It is as it is because men choose to leave God out of their life and out of the equation. And as it were, moving headlong towards a disaster of their own making, a disaster that is thoroughly, totally described in the scriptures. Anyway, let's just begin with prayer this evening, shall we? Let's just bow our heads, let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity we have to be able to, Lord, open the scriptures and read these things that are written for our instruction, for our encouragement, and sometimes, Lord, as a warning to us also. And Lord, what we are dealing with here is a subject that, Lord, certainly there are aspects of it, Lord, that are not really very pleasant at all. And I guess it would be true to say there are some who think better left alone, better just to spend our time talking about things that are positive. And yet your word says, have nothing to do with, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. Expose them. And Lord, and that is what your word does. Your word shines its light in the darkness, and it exposes sin, it exposes corruption, it exposes even the thoughts of men and the intents of men's hearts. It exposes them for what they are. And Lord, we pray that your word will do its work this evening. Lord, we pray that it will expose the evil, but Lord, even more than that, we pray that, Lord, you by your Holy Spirit, that Lord, you will guide our hearts and the hearts and minds of all who, Lord, will perhaps listen to this message, that Lord, you would guide us to your truth. The only reliable word, the only reliable truth that we have is your word. And Lord, I pray that you will direct us to your truth, that Lord, we might again understand our times, understand what is happening in the world today, understand what is being said by certain people, understand it for what it is, so that Lord, we your people might know what to do. And Father, we ask again this night that Lord, if it be perhaps that anyone who listens to this message isn't saved at this point in time, Lord, our heart's desire is that Lord, they be pointed to the one, the only one who can save them, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that Lord, your gospel would be made known. Lord, we can talk about it, we can preach it, but Lord, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we pray that Lord, you will move by your Holy Spirit in the hearts of men and women who perhaps would listen to this who are not saved, and draw them, we pray, to the Saviour. For this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, it was allegedly, it was Joseph Goebbels who said, if you tell a big enough lie and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such a time as the state can shield people from the political, economic, and military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Is what Joseph Goebbels said many, many years ago, 70 odd years ago. And how applicable that would be for today. I mean, think first of all, it's not particularly where we're going with this message this evening, but think about what's happened over the last couple of years. Think about the perpetuation of a lie that has gone on 24/7 for the last, well, over 2 years. And now other things, of course, are being added to that. And you know as well as I do, only one narrative comes through the media, doesn't it? I mean, this we've observed. I've said the other week, you know, I find myself in a position now where I cannot believe a word that comes from the BBC. And that's really rather unfortunate. I can't even turn the news on no more. Because you can't, you know, I'm sure there must be, some of it must be true. But you see, it's all wrapped up in a lie. Or else a half-truth, or at least a one-sided narrative. And so you cannot believe the truth anymore. And so let me read you again what Goebbels said. If you tell a big enough lie and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. And they have, haven't they? You know as well as I do, if you start talking about all the COVID stuff, you just cannot get through to people. You just know, you know, I mean, you almost feel like giving up with some people. In fact, I know some of us have. We just don't go there anymore unless, you know, a certain opportunity arises. You just don't go there anymore because people just will shut that one down. Tell a big enough lie and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield people from the political, economic, and military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent. And I believe that's what they've done. And that is what they continue to do. To repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. The truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. I find myself in agreement with Joseph Goebbels there. The truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. And this is the truth. From the first word of Genesis to the last word of Revelation, this is the truth. And this is the mortal enemy of the lie. Who is the father of lies? Satan is the father of lies. And Satan, even as we were saying this morning, he wants to keep people away from the truth. So may God help us to hear his truth and be able to discern the difference between the truth and the lies. Okay, well, and I guess everybody here and everybody who maybe tunes in regularly to these knows that I am of the opinion that Jesus is coming soon. And it's not just because, it's not wishful thinking, it's not just because I really want that to happen, I do. But that's not the reason I say that I am of the opinion that Jesus is coming soon. See, I am convinced, absolutely convinced, by all that I see happening in the world right now, and looking at it all through the lens of the prophetic scriptures, I am convinced that that period of time, variously described in the Bible or named in the Bible as the tribulation or the day of the Lord or the time of Jacob's trouble, and there are various other names for it in the Bible. I'm talking about that period of time of which Jesus said there has never been a time like it before, nor ever will be again, the worst of times. It seems to me that that period is about to commence soon. Virtually everything, if not everything actually, from what I can see, is in place. Now I admit that, you know, if you caught me 10 years ago, I'd probably have said the same thing. It's just that, you know, what we see happening now, I mean, in certain areas, I mean, there are things going on today you would never have believed. I mean, think about all the kind of artificial intelligence stuff, all that that's going on. All the genetic manipulation that is going on, you know, that most of us never even knew about until, you know, all these things. And you put it all together with everything else. As far as I'm concerned, anyway, you know, it's as though everything is in place. That I think, you know, the tribulation could happen, could commence at virtually any time. And if so, then the rapture could occur at any time. Because my understanding of the scriptures is that the rapture will take place before the tribulation commences. Again, from my understanding of scripture, and I've looked at it, and I understand people have other points of view. I totally accept that. I was accused a little while ago of being rather I don't know what the word is, disparaging of other people's. It's just that from my point of view, as I understand the scriptures, it is clear to me the rapture takes place before the commencement of the tribulation. Because you see, it seems to me that all the signs are there for this to happen. And listen, I can well understand why Bible-believing Christians who studied the prophetic scriptures got excited in 1948 when Israel, back in the land, a remnant of the people of Israel were back in the land and recognized by the then League of Nations that became the United Nations, was recognized as a sovereign state. You know, for the first time in, well, a couple of millennia, they were back in their own land and recognised as a sovereign state. I can understand why students of prophecy got excited about that in 1948, and no doubt many of them thought, this is it, the Lord is coming any minute. Because you see, Israel have to be back in the land in order for certain other prophecies, many other prophecies, to come to pass, you see. So Israel is back in the land. I can understand why students of prophecy got really excited in June of 1967, when, against all odds, Israel won the Six-Day War. I mean, they were outnumbered about 1,000,000 to 1. Well, not a million, but, you know, slight exaggeration there. But they were surrounded by all their enemies and outnumbered massively, and yet in 6 days they won that war. And by the way, could have had Temple Mount. They were on there. And I could understand why students of prophecy got really excited back then. Maybe some of you were kind of that group of people at that particular point in time. I don't know, but I could understand that, because you see, it seemed to be that the prophecies of Scripture were being fulfilled before people's very eyes. What I think is different today is that all the signs given in the Scriptures, the signs that would herald the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, are all being fulfilled at the same time. There's this kind of convergence of all the different signs being fulfilled. So we're not just talking about Israel back in the land. We are talking about a whole raft of different kinds of signs that, according to the Bible, would herald the soon return of Christ. Signs in the geopolitical realm, let's call it. In other words, in the Bible, there are certain political power blocks that are described. And for example, you've got Russia with various allies who come down to invade Israel. And so Russia today, those allies that are mentioned in the Bible in Ezekiel 38, they're basically there. You see? And so whatever happens in Ukraine, I don't know how that one will pan out. But what I do know is this: Russia will survive that. Russia have to survive that, because they're coming down to Israel for what the Bible describes as calls the Gog and Magog War, where actually God will destroy the power of Russia and its allies on the mountains of Israel, supernaturally, by an earthquake. He will break the power of Russia. He will, and most of the other allies that are with them, by the way, are Islamic nations. So it seems to me, breaks the power of Islam there at one and the same time. And this is only Ian's theory. But you see, God does that, Ezekiel 39, with a massive earthquake, amongst other things. And so what if that earthquake actually takes down the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the process? Okay, so the Al-Aqsa Mosque comes down, and the Dome on the Rock comes down, and the power of Russia is broken, and so the Western so-called democracies, who right now are coming together to bring in their version of a new world order, okay, that comes together, and one rises up to take control of that, who the Bible calls the Antichrist. Okay, and there's no barrier then to giving, to facilitating the rebuilding of a Jewish temple on Temple Mount, is there? Because the power of Islam has been broken in such a way that it was obviously God. And the Al-Aqsa Mosque, that they claim is the third most holiest site in Islam, that, by the way, they only claimed that after 1948, but that's besides the point. That's what they do claim, but that's gone. So that opens the way for the rebuilding of a Jerusalem temple, again, as the Bible says. So anyway, you've got these signs in the geopolitical realm. And by the way, China is one, because Revelation talks about an army of 200 million coming from the east. That's got to be China with certain allies they have. And then there are signs in the natural realm. So, for example, there are more earthquakes happening now than ever there was before. Okay, there's an escalation. People who study earthquakes? Meteorologists. Any of them would tell you, and volcanologists who study volcanoes, there are more happening now than ever before. So I could put a chart up, if I had one, and I could show you how over the last 50 years there's been an increase in seismic activity and volcanoes throughout the world. Of course, what that doesn't tell you is how long they're going to continue to increase in severity. But there are signs in the natural realm, not just in earthquakes, but in other areas too. There are signs in the religious realm. So what we see happening before our very eyes is the religions of this world are coming together. So you have this in the United Arab Emirates, don't you? The House of Abraham, brought in by Trump's Abrahamic Accord, which is aimed at bringing together Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, that they say are the three Abrahamic religions, you know, to bring them all together. And of course, the Pope is right behind that and everything else. So you've got this kind of bringing in of a one world religion. It's happening before our very eyes. And then there are also signs in the realm of science and technology. I mean, things are happening with artificial intelligence and all that. It's just incredible. You know, and our forefathers in the faith, you know, they used to read that scripture in Revelation 13 about this mark of the beast, you know, that, you know, that everybody must take, and without it, you know, you cannot buy or sell. And I guess, you know, many of them thought it was some sort of tattoo, you know, that you know everybody's got to take. But of course, we know it's a technology. And the technology exists now, doesn't it? We're all aware of this, that without a certain technology, you know, once the economy has gone digital and everything else, you will not be able to buy or sell in any normal way without having that technology. The technology is there. So there are signs in the realm of science and technology, but there are also signs in what I'm going to call here the social realm, in terms of what the Bible says people will be like in the last days. You see, the Bible's an incredible book, you know. I mean, it's not just telling us this will happen in the world and that will happen in the world. It even tells us what people will be like, what they will think, the way they will speak, the kind of things they want. You know, you see, God knows what goes on in a person's mind. So when I say signs in the social realm, I'm talking about what the Bible says about the behavior of people. The things they'll do, the things they'll say, the things they'll think, the beliefs, the mindset, the worldview, the morals. You know, it's all here. And Jesus said, of course, he said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In fact, let me just turn to that scripture. It's in Luke. This one's in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 27, Jesus speaking said, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And then it goes on to say, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now there is, of course, there in the reference to Lot, there's a reference to moral depravity in the world in the time just prior to Jesus coming again. What was the lifestyle of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, it was just gross immorality of every sort. So sodomy, homosexuality, but every kind of perversion is there. It's not just that; it's every kind of perversion. And so it seems to me included in all of that is what the Lord is saying, as it was then. In the time of Lot, in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's what it will be like in the world just prior to Jesus coming again. Now, somebody might say, yeah, but there have always been people with perverse lifestyles. There have always been people that have done those kinds of things. And that's true, of course. It's just that the difference today is that it's off the scale and it's protected by law. To the extent that if anyone dare criticise, if anybody dare say there's something unnatural about that, well, you could possibly be arrested. I could possibly be arrested just for saying what I've just said. You know, that's the difference. And it's even gone way beyond the acts of homosexual people and women who are lesbian or whatever. It's gone way beyond that. Now we've got all this such transgender stuff that is just, I mean, it's unbelievable, honestly, isn't it? It's just unbelievable, the depravity. And you've just got to, like, go to the supermarket and you pass the shelf with the videos on, and you're like, you've got to kind of look the other way. I mean, when I was a kid, things like that, you probably had to go to a certain kind of shop and go through the back door or something, but now it's there in the supermarket. In other words, it's just widespread, you know, and they say that children are accessing stuff on the phones, you know what I mean? It's just, we've reached a whole different level. That's what I'm saying, as in the days of Lot. And of course, the statement, as in the days of Noah, there is a reference there, not only to man's general behaviour, but to something even more sinister than that, that has to do with, well, let's call it the interference of fallen angels in the human race and genetic manipulation of plants and animals and even human beings. That was going on in the days of Noah, in the time leading up to Noah. And I've preached on that subject before, even in this particular series of Perilous Times. And I will come back to this again, possibly in a few weeks' time, because of revelations that have been made recently of what is actually going on. You know, and so who are these fallen angels? Well, they are those who followed Satan and his rebellion. And you can read the whole thing there in the early verses of Genesis chapter 6. So there's this kind of genetic manipulation. And I know that people today would say, wait a minute, you know, you're talking about thousands of years BC there. I mean, could people do that then? I mean, they can do it now. There's genetically modified plants and animals and everything now. But of course, we're very clever now, aren't we? We've kind of worked out how to do all of this stuff. Yes, there was back then. And how did man have that knowledge? It was demonically, from demonic revelation, taught by demons. And so, what is happening today is exactly the same thing. And I will hold my hand up and say, as far as I'm concerned, all the genetic manipulation of things is demonic. It is demonic, that. It's put out as though it's for the benefit of all. You know, we can have genetically modified cabbages that last longer or are bigger or whatever, and we can have genetically modified crops, you know, and all this, that and the other. And it's all for the benefit of everybody. It's demonic, as far as I'm concerned. It's messing about with God's creation. At the very, very least, it is messing about with God's good creation. What did God say when he created in the beginning? He said, it is good. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it, in other words. It's good. So we manipulate it, we mess about with it, and what we do is we always create a disaster. So I would say that is demonic anyway. So there's all of that going on. Still, this evening, I just want to draw your attention to a verse in Genesis 6 where it says, and it's verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent or thought of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." In other words, all day long, the thoughts of his mind were just evil continually. "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." You know, I think that's one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible, that God was grieved in his heart that he'd made man on the earth. How sad is that? But you see, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When the Lord looks down, as it were, today, when he looks into this world of men and women, in these last days, what does he see? What does he see? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me read some verses. "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Verse 13, evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Chapter 4, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their hearts away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You see, the problem even infects the church. It even comes into the church, you see. And so when God looks at this world today, and he looks into the hearts of men and women in this world today, that's what he sees. That's what he sees. And there are Christians who evidently think we shouldn't really talk about these things. There are some who think we should only speak about nice and good and positive things all the time. They tell me the fella in America who has the biggest church in America, that nothing is allowed to be preached from his platform about sin, about judgment, about the need for repentance or anything. That all that can be talked about is positivity and that kind of a thing in his church. And I guess that will be typical of many churches. There are some Christians who think you shouldn't talk about anything that is of a negative nature, or things that are basically rank evil. However, Ephesians 11 and 12 says this. Ephesians 5, sorry, verses 11 and 12, it says, have no fellowship, in other words, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Okay, so it's shameful to speak of those things that are done by them in secret. But evil is to be exposed, it says. Don't have any fellowship with it. In other words, don't have any truck with it. Don't join with it. Don't engage yourself with it in that sense. Rather, expose it. And it goes on to say, verse 13, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. You know, in other words, all things that are exposed are made visible by the light. And they are revealed, in other words, for what they are. For what they are. So I make no apologies for sharing what I'm going to share here this evening, although what one man says on this is abominable, quite honestly. It is an abomination. But I make no apologies for sharing it, because it needs to be exposed. Okay, that's the point. This is about exposing the darkness. This is about exposing what is happening in the world right now, that we might see it for what it is, so that we ourselves might do and be what the Holy Spirit describes in the verses that follow what I've just read there in Ephesians. From verse 14 it says, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And you see, the point there is that unless, as I was saying this morning, we do business with the Word of God, unless we be governed by the Word of God and directed by the Word of God, we can sleepwalk our way into the mentality of this world, you know. We can. We can, you know, even as a Christian, you could It is possible for a Christian to sit in front of the box all day and soak up the garbage that comes through it. It's possible to do that. And if a Christian does that, then what's happening is what is darkness, what is corruption, what is evil becomes acceptable, doesn't it? It becomes okay to them. And so what it says here is, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, in other words, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of person we need to be. Okay, so that is the purpose of all of this. As it says in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, let's pick the reading up at verse 4. You, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Okay, so we've not got to have ourselves, you know, lulled to sleep by the message and mentality of this world, but we've got to be people who are awake to the truth. Let us watch and be sober. So that's what this is about. So I'm going to show you a couple of videos this evening that I think show us something of the nature of the times in which we live. And quite obviously, it gets worse by the day. Okay, now there are worse things I could show you than this. Okay, but this is intended to give us a flavour, okay, of what's happening right now. And the first one is really just kind of further to something that I showed last week from China. You remember the video about the lockdown in Shanghai? In China, unbelievable. And I got this, somebody sent me this video, but it came a bit late to include it. I don't know who this man is who's talking on here, but I felt that what is shown on this video is just staggers my mind. It is like something from a horrible science fiction movie that you might have been unfortunate to see, that kind of describes a sort of hideous dystopian future. Okay, so let me just we're going to put this first one out. I'll put the lights out and then it'll be a bit more visible for us. Let's just
It's unbelievable, but these are Chinese patients in 2022 who go through quarantine in boxes that almost look like coffins. This very moment, while your country is getting back to normal, I am about to show you by far the most extreme COVID measures that you have ever seen, where your every move is being watched. Even from the sky. This is the unbelievable way China is going through COVID in 2022. Just look at this man who represents the current desperation of Chinese people. People who are cracking under pressure, trapped in the world's strictest lockdown, all because of the mild variant Omicron in Shanghai City. People are so desperate for food, they have resorted to hoarding and looting, grabbing whatever supplies they can take home. There, the current situation is so bad that the quarantine centers resemble concentration camps.
This place is absolutely disgusting and grotty, very, very, very dirty. So we don't know what's going to happen.
It's so bad that even passengers are getting locked down inside buses. What would you do if this was happening in your country? If in 2022 things were so bad that your children would be forced to separate from you? These poor people's situation is so dire, you'll see patients being dragged on the streets. It is so dire that it resembles a dark science fiction movie. But this is not a movie. Most of us never thought we would go back there again, yet somehow this is people's reality in 2022. And no matter how much China tries to hide this dark reality, brave citizens will keep on leaking videos to expose the truth. And how could they not scream for help? Just look at this. Do not enter or leave Beijing without permission. Spies are among us. Leaks may happen in an instant. Watch your own mouth or face harsh punishment. These are signs on the streets. Do not express pandemic-related opinions online. And last but not least, wow, I tell you, nothing sums up China right now as accurately as this line. And the reason we have to talk about this is because at many points, China was showing off to the world that it was the first to fully move on from COVID. They had this massive pool party, basically a big, look how great we are compared to the rest of the world show. And yet, somehow now, they have the most unbelievable COVID measures we have ever seen.
So there you have it. Unbelievable, isn't it? And I think the thing is, you see, as that man said, whoever he is, you know, not long ago they were boasting that they were free from whatever it was, and now it's come back. It's come back to something worse than ever before in terms of the policies, the restrictions, the measures the government have taken, all for apparently a few cases of a mild variant. I understand a couple of people have died, but what of? There you go, see? And my point is that could come here. You know, we could look at that and say, nah, no, that's never going to come here. But as I pointed out last week, I said that when they closed down Wuhan right at the beginning, I said, there's only the Chinese could do that. Shut a whole city down. There's only the Chinese could do that, and within weeks, it was here. So my point is, if the people who are running all of this think it necessary, then they will do that here. And that is to me just how evil it is. And then I noticed somebody showed me the other day that Somebody told me the other day that children of a certain age in this country right now, and I'm thinking about 8 or 9 years old, something like that, parents are getting letters telling them that they can have the... okay, so several people we know have had this letter, the child of that age. And yet, at the same time, on the government's own website, tucked away in the middle of the text, it actually says, we do not recommend that children under 12 have it. So how's that for hypocrisy and doublespeak? Okay, so they send a letter home telling parents that they should give it to the children. But at the same time on the website, they say, not for under 12s. Shouldn't be for anyone, but that's that. And then news came through from California today that they have just voted to effectively allow abortions up to a month after birth. So parents could just leave the child to die, effectively, and they would not be prosecuted. You heard me right. It's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's murder before birth. But after birth, that is unbelievable. And so God, you see, God sees all of this. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, so I'm gonna show you a clip from another video right now. And this clip lasts about 2.5 minutes or so. And it's something else from this man who featured in one of our talks, 3 or 4 weeks ago, Yuval Noah Harari. And again, just before I play this clip, let me just say this, that some people may never have heard of this person. Okay, so you may think to yourself, well, he's, you know, I don't know who this person is. I don't know anything about him. Therefore, he can't possibly be of any consequence, really. That whatever he says is of no consequence. But you will understand from this clip, from some little parts of it, that this is a very, very highly influential individual at this point in time. He seems to have come from nowhere. Bit like the Antichrist does. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but he sort of come from nowhere, and yet some of the chief movers and shakers in what is happening in the world today seem to hang on his every word. He is a highly influential person. In fact, he's one of the chief advisors of Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, and his philosophies, his ideas, hold a great lot of weight. So we're going to just put this one on now, and then we'll make some comments on what he said.
It's unbelievable, but these are Chinese patients in 2022 who go through quarantine in boxes that almost look like coffins. This very moment, while your country is getting back to normal.
Just as God in the Bible designs and creates animals and plants and humans according to his wishes, now we are learning how to design and create life.
Yuval Harari thinks big for a living. Not so long ago, he was an obscure history professor, but his 2014 book, Sapiens, changed all that. He explored the past, cramming 150,000 years of human history into 400 pages.
Authority will shift.
Transforming himself into a literary phenomenon.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome once again, Yuval Noah Harari.
Name dropped by the likes of Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, and Barack Obama.
The other book that I really enjoyed, a book by an Israeli author, Yuval Harari.
His follow-up book, Homo Deus, tackled the future, elevating Harari to a sort of digital visionary. Now he's back with his take on the present day. His new book, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century, explores the influence of algorithms on our everyday lives, how artificial intelligence will affect and maybe even replace us.
Don't have any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy. You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions, and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or from Bangalore and not from the Middle East. And they are likely to give people visions based on technology. Everything that the old religions promised, happiness and justice and even eternal life, but here on earth with the help of technology and not after death with the help of some supernatural being.
What are humans for?
As far as we know, for nothing. I mean, there is no great cosmic drama, some great cosmic plan that we have a role to play in it. And we just need to discover what our role is and then play it to the best of our ability. This has been the story of all religions and ideologies and so forth, but as a scientist, the best I can say, this is not true. There is no universal drama with a role in it for Homo sapiens. If you repeat a lie often enough, people will think it's the truth, and the bigger the lie, the better. Mm. Because people won't even think that, oh, it's something so big can be a lie. And I think that fake news have been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible.
Fake news has been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible, is what he says. Okay, so as I say, Harari is admired and respected as an intellectual thinker. And I want to pick up on some of the statements that he made there. But before I do, I think it's important that we understand God's assessment of this man. Because obviously the assessment of the, you know, let's call them again, you know, the chief movers and shakers of this world, Barack Obama and all these other people, Schwab and all these others, is that he's a high intellectual, a man of great foresight and understanding and knowledge. But it's important that we understand God's assessment of him. Academics obviously think he's a literary genius or some kind of giant of philosophy of his time. But what is God's assessment? God says he's a fool. He's a fool. Because whilst at the start of that segment that I played, we heard Harari say, just as God in the Bible creates animals and plants and humans as he wishes, the truth is he doesn't believe in God at all. He doesn't believe in God. He speaks mockingly of God, which reminds me actually of what it says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8. And this is a reference to the Antichrist. He says, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words or blasphemous words. Now, I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist is in him. Okay, the things that he says, the spirit of Antichrist is there in everything that he says. He speaks blasphemy. He speaks mockingly of God. He speaks pompous words in a pompous way. He speaks as though he knows. And it's interesting that the interviewer, or no one else, asks him the obvious question, how do you know? Nobody asks him that. They, as it were, seem to sit there in awe of him. And the crowd, you notice the crowd, they smile, you know, a kind of appreciatively of what he's just said. It's blasphemy. He speaks pompous words of blasphemy in an arrogant and mocking way. But God's assessment of Harari is that he's a fool. How do I know? Well, we read it at the beginning of this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then it goes on to say, and they have all become corrupt. You see, that's what happens when a person rejects the God of the Bible. Corruption is all that remains. So Harari says, just as the God in the Bible created animals, plants and humans as he wishes, now we are learning how to design and create life. That's what he said. So this is man playing God now. We are learning how to design and create life. He doesn't believe in God, the true God, the God of the Bible, but he thinks we can become like God. And we can do those things that previously people thought only God could do, create life and design life as we wish. But now we can do that. That we now, in the process of gaining knowledge, or we already have knowledge, that God had in the beginning to design and create life. And again, this is the original delusion, that we can be God. This is the original delusion that led to the fall of Lucifer, of course. If you turn to Isaiah and chapter 14, verse 12, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, is what Lucifer said. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. It was the original delusion of Lucifer that he could be God, that he could sit on God's throne, that he could be God. That's the original delusion. And then when he comes to the woman in the garden, created in God's image, of whom God said, behold, it is very good. What did he tempt her with? You can be like gods. You can be like gods. Let's read in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. In other words, the word of God is a lie. And that's exactly what Harari is saying. The word of God is a lie. You will not surely die. For God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing the good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. And so the temptation is, take this and you can be like God. And that has been consistently the temptation of Satan ever since, even to this day. I mean it's the whole basis on which Mormonism exists is there's a saying in Mormonism, as man is now, God once was; as God is now, man may become. And the whole idea of Mormonism is that you progress to a God-like status, and then you go to another planet and you populate that, and so it goes on. And that's the idea of it. And it's the same with, you know, virtually every other occult thing. You can have godlike powers. And that's what Harari is saying. Can you see? That you know, what God did in the beginning, according to the Bible, he doesn't believe in. And the God he's talking about, he doesn't believe in. But, you know, that's where we've arrived. We've arrived at this position where we can design and create life. You know, it reminded me of that old joke, you know, that You know, one day, you know, man shows up before God and he says, I know how you did it. Okay, and I know now how to create as you created. And God says, okay, go ahead. And so man, as it were, gets all this stuff, you know, this matter, you know, and everything else. And God says, wait a minute, get your own stuff. You see, because God created it all out of nothing. See, he created it out of nothing. He spoke his words, there was nothing. And he spoke his word and it all came into existence. He didn't have a pile of bricks. He didn't have a pile of matter, a pile of soil or whatever else that he constructed it all into something. He spoke his word and he created it out of nothing. So Harari and those who follow him, the best they can do is take what's already there and turn it into something and say, we've designed and created life. No, they've not. Yeah, they've recreated what is already there. They've manipulated what is already there. God says, get your own stuff. Yeah. You know, if he's a God, then he would be able to do that. Of course, he can't. And the next thing he said is, you need completely new ideologies, completely new religions. And they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or Bangalore or somewhere like that, but not in the Middle East. They are likely to give people visions, he says, based on technology. And then he said, everything the old religions promised, happiness, justice, and even eternal life, but here on earth with the help of technology, not after death with the help of some supernatural being. Can you see what this is, friends? This is salvation by technology that he's talking about. And it comes from the God science. It's salvation by technology from the God that he calls science. And it will bring us all that we need, he says. All that the old religions promised technology will give us. Not after death, but here on earth, now. And is this not what the Antichrist will do during the tribulation when through this mark of the beast system, which is a technology, it is through that and by means of that that the subjects of the Antichrist will be able to access everything they want. The money, the healthcare, the travel permit, everything will come via this technology, and without this technology, you will not be able to access it. In other words, what he's talking about there, in a manner of speaking, will come to pass. It will happen. This is exactly what the Bible says. He also knows that technology is going under the skin. As we were saying last week, in fact, in one of the other talks, it's going under the skin. It starts on your smartphone now. But it's going at some stage under the skin. It's the mark of the beast system. Now, Harari was asked the question. I don't know if you caught that on the video. The question was, what are humans for? And his answer, as far as we know, for nothing. For nothing. And he went on to say, there's no cosmic drama, some great cosmic plan that we have a role to play in it, and we just need to find out what our role is and play it to the best of our ability. This, he says, has been the story of all religions and ideologies and so forth. But as a scientist, the best I can say is that is not true. There is no universal drama with a role in it for Homo sapiens. And again, what got me is the interviewer didn't say, how do you know? Nobody said, excuse me, tell us how you know that. In fact, they just grinned, they just smiled approvingly, you see. But he said it, there is no drama. There is no cosmic drama. No, there's no purpose for life. What are humans for? Nothing. Nothing. Okay, so that's his belief. That's his belief. What I want to say this evening is what his belief leads to. What does it lead to? When he was asked, what are humans for? He said, as far as we know, nothing. And that, friends, is what atheism always leads to. If there is no God, if there is no judgment, if there's no heaven, if there's no hell, then there is no purpose to life. Is there? Without God, there is no purpose to life, really. You're here, and then you die, and that's it. But there's no purpose to life. And that, you know, is one of the reasons why the suicide rate is going up. Because people find no purpose in life. You take God away, there is no purpose to life at all. And if what he said was true, then that is why these people can agree to the idea of killing a baby at a month old, or abortion at any time during the term of pregnancy. Because you see, if there's no God, if there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no accountability, then what is life? What are humans for? Nothing. There's no purpose to life. We're just a piece of meat and nothing more. And people put the dog down, you put a human down. It doesn't matter. There's no purpose to life, you see. But of course, he's wrong. He's dead wrong. There is God. And there is a great cosmic plan. Amen. The plan is God's plan, and it's to redeem mankind. It's to redeem fallen mankind. And notice, he did say that, you know, there's no cosmic plan that we've just got to find out where we fit in it. That isn't it. God's plan is to redeem mankind, and he did this through the sacrifice of his own son, who died for us on the cross of Calvary. And because of that, what God does is he calls us by his grace, through the gospel, he calls us to come to him and to receive from him forgiveness for our sins and a new life in Christ, so that then we can walk with God for the rest of our life on earth and then for all eternity with him in glory. That is God's plan. There is a cosmic plan. And you know, through Christ shed blood on the cross, he is going to redeem the cosmos to himself also. Not just mankind, but this planet that right now is suffering the corruption that came in as a result of sin. He's even going to restore all of that. And it's through the death of God's son. So finally, in that, this is where Harari has gone wrong in his life, primarily. He said this: if you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it's the truth. And the bigger the lie, the better. Because people will think there's no way something so big could be a lie. I think, he said, fake news has been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible. In other words, he thinks the Bible is the big lie. Just as the serpent said to Eve, you shall not surely die, God lied. He thinks the Bible is a lie. In the end, however, this brings all of us to a question. And the question is, who do you want to believe? Whose word do you want to believe? Do you want to believe him or people like him? Do you want to embrace the future that actually he promotes and Schwab and all these others are actually following his lead? Is that what you want? Or will you believe God's word? Amen. God's word that tells us who created everything in the beginning. It's God. And he did it through his word. The word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Lord Jesus Christ. He did it through the agency of his son, the word of God. And the Bible tells us when he created the world. About 6,000 years ago. What? Some people say. 6,000 years ago? No. The universe is 13.5 billion years ago. The science have proved it. No, they've not. And human beings, well, we've been around for, 150,000 years? I don't know, something like that at the last count. 150,000 years ago, we finally evolved from apes or whatever, you know, about that time. And became, modern man as we are today in that sense. No. According to the Bible, God created it all 6,000 years ago. And he did it in 6 days, all of it. Finished. Job done. Finished. And that's important, you know. Because if you're going to say, well, I don't believe him, I'm going to believe God's word, then you've got to believe all God's word. What he says about creation too. Amen. And it's important for this reason too. Because, you know, God has a prophetic week. You know that, don't you? There's a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years is a day. There is a prophetic week. So what happens in a week in the Bible? Well, you have 6 days in which there is work, and then the seventh day is a day of rest. Okay, when no one works, that's 7 day a week. And as I've said before, you know, we have 365.25 days in a year, and then that's because that's how long apparently it takes the earth to go around the sun. We have around about 30 days in a month. That's because that's how long it takes, what is it, the moon to go around the earth? Is that right? Something like that anyway. That's the lunar month. Okay. But why do you have 7 days in a week? There is no reason. There is no astronomical reason why you have 7 days in a week, but you do. And it comes back to the Bible, and God wants to tell us something. And he's telling us, and it comes back to the divine plan for this world. There are going to be 7 days in the history, as it were, of the world in its present form. And the seventh day is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when he will restore all things. And it'll be a time of rest for this earth. That's the seventh day. And the first 6 days, well, they're coming to an end. We are about there now. Which is another reason why I believe the rapture has to be soon. Do you see? We're at the end of the sixth day. So do you want to believe the likes of him? Or do you want to believe God, who was actually there when it was created, to tell you the truth? See, because there's a lot in the church don't. They say, oh yeah, we believe in God. Well, don't believe in that. Because science has proved it. No, it hasn't. You've got to decide who you want to believe. The Bible tells you about life and the purpose of life. He said, he was asked, what are humans for? And he said, nothing. But there's a purpose to life, you know. And the purpose is that we come to an understanding of who God is and what he requires of us. The purpose of a person's life is to come to know God. It's to come to know Christ as our Saviour. It's to glorify God with our life. That is the purpose of your life. It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the purpose of life. We've got to believe what the Bible says about salvation. There is no salvation by technology. There is no salvation through Islam. There's no salvation through Hinduism. Or whatever other ism there is. There's no salvation anywhere else. The salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. Amen. And you either believe what the Bible says about that or you don't. But you've got to make your mind up who and what you want to believe. And also, and finally, you know, if we're going to believe the Bible, if that's our decision, then we believe what the Bible says about the future. Not just about the present, but about the future too. And the Bible has much to say about the future. We keep repeating it over and over again. Soon, there's going to be a rapture takes place when every single believer on planet Earth will suddenly disappear. That's what the Bible says. And the world might say, you're barking if you believe that. I mean, that is just mad. It sounds like something out of a Hollywood science fiction film. But that's what the Bible says, and so I believe it. And the Bible says that's going to be followed on earth by a time of tribulation. The Bible says it. And people might say, oh, that's a bit doom. You know, that's a bit negative. But the Bible says it, and I believe it. And then the Bible says at the end of the tribulation, Jesus is coming back in power and with great glory, followed by the hosts of heaven riding on white horses with him. And he's going to come and he's going to establish his throne and judge the nations who've survived the tribulation. The sheep and the goats, Matthew 25. And the sheep will go into the kingdom. That is to say, those who survive the tribulation, who actually come to believe on Jesus, they'll go into the millennium in the mortal bodies. And the goats, those who didn't believe, they will be sent to hell, according to what it says in Matthew 25. And then Christ will reign on earth for 1,000 years. And then after that, after the end of the seventh day, God's going to wrap up this whole cosmos and replace it with a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness alone dwells. That's the plan. That's the prophetic plan. And people might say, well, that sounds crazy. I don't care what they say. That's what the Bible says. And you've got to decide who you want to believe. You either believe the likes of him, or you believe God, who actually knows the end from the beginning. Amen. Let's just close with prayer. Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity to open your word and, Lord, to read these things in it. And, Lord, whilst we do not enjoy for 1 minute listening to the ranting of a man like the person we've just seen on the screen, Lord, we pity him because, Lord, he's obviously under some sort of delusion. He says the Bible is a lie, but Lord, he is deceived and doing the deceiving. He himself is a promoter of the lie. And Lord, I just pray that you would lead us and guide us in your truth, that Lord, we'd be men and women of the word, that we'd know the truth and the truth would make us free. Lord, truly we're living in dark days. Lord, we see what is happening in China. We see what is happening in other places. Lord, we hear constantly in the news, day by day, lies and one-sided narratives and propaganda. And Lord, it reminds us of what Joseph Goebbels said a long time ago. Lord, it's what is being played out before us. But I pray that, Lord, we would know your truth and your truth would make us free. So this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.